Well, good morning. Welcome. And for all you moms, happy Mother's Day to you. I feel certain somebody has said it to you, but if not, your pastor says happy Mother's Day. And men, thank you too for being here. I'm glad you brought these mothers. Now let's have a time of worship. We're going to open with some announcements, and there's a bunch here, so I'm sorry. Oh, it's my support system right there. So Tuesday, senior adults having a luncheon. Here in the fellowship hall, there are details in the bulletin and a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. Please sign up. That helps them to know how many to have a count for. Men's ministry having an event May 16th. That's this next Saturday at 9 in the morning. At the Ferguson's Ranch, details are also in the bulletin, and there is also a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center for that. The GAs and RAs are having a bake sale this morning. Some of you already know that. On this end, if you go out these doors, the exit doors, there is a table set up, and they have some baked goods. The RAs and GAs are raising money for their camp experience this summer, so please make your stop by there after the service. I'm sure some of you have your goods in here. If you do, you're going to have to share. That's the right thing to do. In honor of Mother's Day, also, we have a hunger offering that we have been customarily taking up on Mother's Day. We've done well to collect monies for those helping with the hunger effort in Texas, so we encourage you to contribute to that prayerfully. And if you're visiting with us this morning, we thank you for being with us. If you've never filled out a little visitor slip, it is attached to the worship bulletin. We ask you to fill that out, put it in the offering plate when that comes by in just a little bit. I do want to also note that we had one of our church members, Joe Luna, pass this past week. We will be having a funeral service for him on Tuesday as well at Oaklawn. There's a visitation time set up for Monday at Oaklawn from 5 to 7. So you have a lot of things going on. Please keep your bulletin close by and look for details on these matters there. Our memory verse for this month is out of Proverbs, right? Proverbs. All right, let's stand together. It's actually out of Psalm 37, 4 and 5. I'm going to try to do this without looking at the screen, so y'all go right on through. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit yourself to Him. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. Psalm 37, 4 and 5. Got it. This couple of verses is dear to me because it kind of helps get me recentered at times to know that when I'm asking the Lord for something, what is the right thing to ask? Well, it is the thing that delights the Lord. And so if I know His word well enough, if I'm engaged with Him in the Spirit, I will be thinking His way. And the prayers that I bring will be what He desires for me to pray. And that most assuredly helps us to know we will get what we ask for because we're praying according to His will. So entrust Him to your heart and He will help you to have the desires of His heart. Be seated at this time. I ask Brother David Gregory to come at this time, lead our deacon prayer, and then we will have a video.
What a beautiful sight to have a full church this morning. And I say good morning to all my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And again, we say happy Mother's Day. Now let us be in a humble attitude of prayer by bowing our heads before the Lord our God. Holy Father, Master, Creator of the heavens, the earth, and the seas, and all things therein. Dear Father, sometimes we as people struggle to find the right words to express Your awesomeness, Your majesty, and everything that You mean to us, Lord. But today, Father, we are humbled by the fact that You created the perfect family unit, gave us the mothers. That's love us like you do unconditionally, who stands by us in the tough times, the times of sickness, the times when we're down, the mothers and grandmothers who reassure us in our daily walk. Dear Father, let us never remember that you are in charge of all things. We live today in a chaotic world, but Father, as believers, we know that you are in charge. Sometimes we may not understand fully why things are happening in our lives and the world around us, but Father, we have that assurance and that hope that you do know, and everything is being laid out for our good. We thank you, Father, for being the architect of our salvation. Dear Father, by sending your Holy Son to us. Father, we pray for the sick and the afflicted. People are afflicted in many ways that we don't understand, but you know them, Father. You know every hair on their head. Dear Father, be with Brother Robert this morning. As he delivers the message, preaches the word, let's open our ears and our hearts this morning, Father, as that word is put out there. We thank you for Sister Laura, who stands by his side as a dedicated mother and wife. Dear Father, we ask for praise and glory to be brought up into your name through this choir behind us as we sing songs of joy and lifts our hearts to you. Dear Father, we ask all these names be brought before you who need to be lifted up this morning. And we ask all of it in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Messiah. Amen.
Well, as we have customarily done in the past, we'll do this morning. If your mother has passed from this life, we ask you to stand at this time. We want to offer a special prayer for you. If your mother has passed, allow me to pray, and we'll pray together. Father, we acknowledge you today and thank you for being in our midst. Lord, as you have promised to your church, we ask, Father, for your comfort and your strength to fall upon these who have stood this morning, whose mothers have passed from this earthly life into eternity. And Lord God, we thank you for memories. We thank you for blessings and skills and instruction that's been left behind, some of it positive and some of it negative. But Lord God, in all ways, you formed us by these mothers who are no longer with us. We pray, Father, for these that stand, that you would give them encouragement and joy through this day as they remember the investment that has been made in them by those that have gone on. And we thank you, Father, for that. We pray that you continue your work through these who stand today, and that your kingdom might continue to be expanded, and that you receive glory for that. Lord God, embrace these and hold them close through this day. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. All right, you may be seated. For those of you whose mothers are still alive, how about just moms? Stand up. Stand up today, moms. If your mom's still alive, you can stand up. We're going to pray for everybody. Okay, listen. Let's all stand. Put it that way. You know, if you put a stick in it and you stir it up, it just gets muddy. And I did it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for mothers, for those who have moms still alive. Father, we thank you and pray that you give wisdom and Holy Spirit unction as we find ways to express our appreciation, our gratitude, and our love for them, for the continued work of investing in our lives, and for the instruction that we've had, for the model that they have presented and continue to present. Father, we thank you. And we pray, Father, that we will find some way to adequately express that reflects that joy, that love, and that gratitude. Father, I pray for mothers who have the task of raising up little ones and nurturing and investing in them. Father, give them strength and continue to use them as vessels of your own heart to minister to these little ones and even to adult children, Father, as they continue to need counsel and guidance along the way. I pray also, Father, for those who have borne children in their womb but have not been able to bring them forth. And Lord God, that you would just provide a comfort and a strength and an encouragement to them as well. Lord God, we love you and thank you that you've given us mothers. You are the source of this gift that we've received. And we thank you as we entrust all of our mothers to you, these mothers in our midst, and those beyond. We pray in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, to your glory. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Brother Houston.
Good morning. Jen Johnson explained that the song we're about to sing originated in 2018 during the process of adopting their fourth child. Jen explained that having a baby again when she and her husband had been out of baby season for 8 years was such a blessing. One day, in the midst of the adoption process, Jen found herself driving along a long country road singing to the Lord. Out of her impromptu worship session came a song about the faithfulness and kindness of God. She said, "I sang this song as an overflow of my heart at that moment." So on this Mother's Day, let's stand and sing a song about a mother's joy of becoming a mom again. This is Goodness of God.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. So, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkness. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. Oh. sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught
Dear Heavenly Father, we rejoice that we can be in your house today, together with one another. Lord, we pray, thanking you that you loved us so much you would die a cruel death on the cross. I thank you, Lord, for the blood shed, for the remission of our sin. Thank you, dear God, for our Bible study previous to this hour and that blessing. Lord, remind us, please remind us, Lord, to hide your word in our heart that we might not sin against you. Lord, we lift up to you, yonder shepherd, our pastor, Brother Robert, as he brings the word of life this hour. Bless, anoint, use him. Prepare our hearts to receive your truth. Live according to it. Save the lost. Lord, we continue to worship you as we receive these tithes and offerings. Do you be the glory and the honor forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Houston and choir, and those at the instruments. Appreciate you leading us this morning. As we've had opportunity to recognize mothers this morning, we can all do that because everybody has a mother. Everybody has a mother. You can't get by that. The only person who didn't have a mother, Adam and Eve. They didn't have a mother, but we're going to talk about Eve this morning. She's the first mom of many moms. And we need to do whatever we can to take the opportunity to express gratitude and love to our mothers while they're here. I'm at the place in my life where I can tell you I can no longer do that. And some of you are in that same situation. And each one of those would tell you, love them while they're here. Mothers invest and nurture and pour into their children what they know to pour into their children. And they come as a gift from God. While children are a gift to a mother, a child's mother is a gift from God. A major gift, because they give us life. We are made in the image of God, procreated by a mother and father, but born by a mother. We ultimately owe gratitude to the Lord for the life that we have. And so we must intentionally express appreciation to these mothers. I thought about it this way this past week. They endured pregnancy. Most cases, 9 months. Some cases, less. Body changes, hormonal gymnastics, physical discomfort. Husband, sometimes you had to run to the store to get something you've never even thought your wife would ever put in her mouth. Things change, and mothers endure a lot to bear and then bring forth children. Our youngest daughter spent a long time in labor before one of the children was born. I remember being in the suite, many family members there, and we were just, as she was just going through it. And I can't imagine. All of that that you endure, and then such joy when the baby's brought forth. Some of us guys would be going, I've had enough of you. But mothers have this mechanism that has been put there by God to, once that's passed, now comes the joy. And to raise the child and invest in that child. And we need to never forget that. There's another aspect to this provision of God that I feel impressed to address this morning. It's going to seem unorthodox, and that's okay. But being found in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, I found two verses here that stuck out to me. And I want us to stand. We're going to read these two verses, then I pray that our mind is of a place where we can dive in together for the next 30 or so minutes. Now the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Let's pray. Father, we yield to you in this hour. We need your wisdom. I pray your Holy Spirit to have freedom to move in and through us so that, Father, the black and white of these words off the pages of the Bible, Father God, will make an impression upon our hearts this morning. Not just for information's sake, Father, but for the purpose of encouraging and strengthening our souls as we make our way through this day and the days to come. Father God, thank you for the truth of your word, how it instructs, it lays out doctrine, it corrects, it encourages, and it strengthens us. Lord God, may we find all of that this morning and more as we yield to you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Already reading these few verses, you're probably thinking, Brother Robert, where are you going with this? And in fact, it's weird. Verse 21 almost looks like it doesn't connect to verse 20 at all. When you think about it, the man called his wife Eve because she was mother of all living, and then the Lord makes garments of skin for the couple. What's that have to do with anything? I think I get it, and I want to share this morning. I love the book of Genesis, as most of you know, that the book of Genesis lays the foundation for everything else that comes after it in the scripture. If we can't embrace and accept what God has revealed to us, at least in the first 11 chapters, the rest of the scripture will seem nonsensical. There'll be no reason to believe anything else in the Bible. Yes, Jesus is proclaimed there. Within the first few verses of chapter 1, we find that the Word was spoken by God and all things were made. Jesus is the Word, according to Scripture. Right in the very first verses, we have Jesus introduced, the Spirit hovering over the waters. The Holy Spirit's there, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all at creation. In chapter 3, verse 15, the Lord proclaims that a seed of the woman will come and be at war with this devil, and he will conquer the devil, bruising his heel as he crushes the head of the serpent. The gospel was presented there in chapter 3. It lays the foundation for everything that comes. And when we look at this particular context, it's crucial. The setting for the text is soon after the curse. Man and woman created. Man was made out of the dirt of the earth. And then when man realized there was no companion for him, the Lord saw it, and the Lord said, I'm going to make a companion for the man. Put the man in a deep sleep, and he took out a rib, and then he formed a woman from the rib. Man, in Hebrew, is Ish. The woman is Isha. It's a built on to the man. Woman, Isha. And that all brings us to this chapter. After the fall, everything that had been beautiful and perfect had been set up, but it had been corrupted by sin. And this suitable helper, that's what she was called, this suitable helper was a co-conspirator in denying God's word. How sad it can be. Adam, as the man, should have stepped in and stopped it, but he didn't. But now in our text, it's said and done. After the fall, an aspect of the woman's purpose is revealed in this verse 20. When Adam called Eve, Eve, the name means living, the mother of all living. Eve was not just given a name so that there could be an identification when Adam needed something. Her name meant something. It was her destiny. It was who she was. Who God created her to be. The mother of all the living. The one that would see a help to make the land populated. Remember, the command of God to them was, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. There's only one way for that to happen. And God had made the woman suitable, had ordained her to be able to accomplish that, of course, with the help of the man. The man was incomplete to accomplish that task by himself. He needed a helper. None of the animals would do. He made a woman. Woman who was the mother of the living. That was her unique role in this God-ordained assignment. To be the one from whom all life comes. Physically, all of us have reason to be grateful for Eve. We have life because of this woman. Faithful to the Lord's command to bear forth children, to fill the earth. Certainly, as the earth became more corrupt and it came time for the flood, there was destruction of life, but there were still families. Those families came from Adam and Eve. Follow the lineage in the scripture. You can't get by it. Noah's sons and their wives began the whole process over, but it started with Eve. Your mother has participated in a God-appointed role to be the bearer of life. Those of you who are mothers, you are participating with God in His God-ordained plan to bring forth life. It's a high calling. Today's world would like to ridicule and suppress. It is a blessed gift. It is a high calling indeed from God to be a mother. Without moms, we couldn't experience what it means to live, to breathe, function, participate in the adventure of life. Some might say, well, then we wouldn't have broken arms or stitches or trouble. But that's what life's about. I think every time that I fell down, I can tell you this, when I broke my left arm as a 12-year-old kid, I had defied my mother's instructions while she was taking a nap before she went to church, before she went to work. She said, y'all can play outside, but don't do anything roughhousing. I said, well, I'm not going to roughhouse. We won't wrestle. But we did set up the big 50-gallon trash can in the front yard and ran up and propelled ourselves off of it, see how far and high we could jump. Never, ever do that and stop on top of the barrel. It will, and you will, and it will break. In half. I had defied my mother's instructions to do anything crazy and ended up with a broken arm. Imagine the shock when I went in the house screaming, Mom, Mom, and she came in and this crooked arm was right in front of her face. The one thing I learned was she was right. And I wasn't. And today I have scars on both sides of my wrist from a surgery to have to correct that. I'll never forget. Mom was right. And I wasn't. Every one of us can carry some scars where we can remember. If I'd have just listened to Mom. Even the scars, even the difficult times are lessons that have been taught to us. We can treasure those. And we can remember that our mother gave us the experience and the opportunity to live, just as Eve did for all the rest of creation, a physical opportunity. And we could also look at the fact that we also have as an inheritance from Adam and Eve the blemish of sin. Now this is where you're going to say, Brother Robert, how can you preach this on Mother's Day? Because it's the reality of the life in which we live, this world in which we live. Listen, anytime there's trouble, it's because of sin. Anytime there's heartache, it's because of sin. Anytime things aren't working out right, it's because of sin. When there's death, when there's cancer, when there's heartache, when there's divorce, when there's homeless people, when there's hunger, when there's disease, it's because of sin. It's not because Mama didn't teach me right. Although that could be true in some cases. It's not somebody else's fault. It's because of sin. And if this couple in the garden hadn't sinned, guess what? You and I would have. We all have this urge in us to defy God. And that's why we need a Savior. Sin happened, and because of this sin, this life that is physical will one day end. Look at Genesis 2, 16 and 17. Now, this is before, the record shows, this is before Eve was created. The Lord commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you will surely," what? Die. It's not that the fruit was bad and you eat it and you're gone. And we know that because after they ate the fruit, they remained alive. In fact, so much so that their eyes were opened, that they recognized they were naked and ashamed. They were very much alive physically. So the Lord wasn't talking about immediate physical death, although that comes about. Listen, sin comes on the scene, and our bodies have, from that day, people live 900 something years. And through the years, if you read the genealogies, you find that people's lives got shorter and shorter and shorter. And how are they today? Very few people live past 100. Most really perish earlier than that. Sin is the reason that's so. When people used to live 969 years. Anybody in here want to live 969 years? I don't. Not the way the world is today. They lived a long time. And so death was a long time coming. And, I mean, they realized they were naked. What they really died was spiritually. Innocence was gone. They were no longer innocent of what the knowledge of good and evil was all about. But they ate of the fruit, opened Pandora's box, in fact, the phrase, and died spiritually. And then that loss of innocence was passed down from Adam and Eve to all the rest of mankind born through their lineage. Well, guess what? That's everybody. And none of us is excepted from that reality. Sin is a reality. In the New Testament letter of Romans, Apostle Paul goes into great detail in chapter 5. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to take some excerpts. And I challenge you, go through there and read about how through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men. That's really pretty clear. Anybody that says, "Oh, I'm not a sinner," they're a sinner because they're lying. Whether from ignorance or just defying truth, the scripture makes it clear. We all have sin in us. We all have this problem of sin. And judgment came to all men resulting in condemnation. That's out of chapter 5, verse 18 of Romans. So there is a coming judgment. We know the wages of sin is death. But praise the Lord, the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. There's a hope. And that's what Genesis 3:15 is all about, is the curse was being handed out. And that's the amazing thing. The blessing came through a curse. The blessing of the hope of eternal life, a Savior coming, came through a curse handed down to the serpent. God just does things in the most different ways. Not how we would have written it up, but this is how God did it. And so this reveals a dilemma for every person. We all carry this death in our soul, spiritual death, because of our sin. And now you're saying, "Brother Robert, what a comforting message today." But that's why the rest of the message is here, the rest of the passage. Look at verse 21. "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them." There's the hope and the joy. The Lord God provided. Never forget, your salvation can only come from the Lord God. Only His provision can free you. If your salvation comes from your own merit, your own righteousness, your own ability, your own education, your own power, your own riches, you will fall flat. None of our efforts will work. It must come through the Lord God, and He has provided the seed that comes through the woman, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. In this Old Testament presentation, the Lord God made garments of skin. Why? Because earlier, after the man and the woman fell, verse 7 says, the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They covered their private parts. They were ashamed. But they still had to hide. Right? I mean, their efforts were not adequate. This should tell us something. Nothing we do to try to cover our sin and shame will work. It will be inadequate. And the Lord, notice this, even after the curse is handed out, He makes a provision for them that they cannot make for themselves. And He provides garments of skin, coverings for them, so that they might not have to be ashamed any longer. This is the way the Lord ministers to us in our sin. And there are garments of skin. This implies, strongly implies, the death of an innocent party, an animal most specifically, that had the coverings of that would be suitable for a garment for a human being. Some innocent party had to perish in order for coverings to be provided for the sinners. This is what God did through Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God. He was an innocent lamb. Jesus was sinless and perfect. He was Holy One. And He chose to come down and to take on the curse and judgment of sin in the place of sinners who would one day call upon Him for salvation, so that He could provide the covering of His blood to cover forever our sins that had been committed. A perfect garment of skins or blood covering from an innocent party on our behalf. And He provided that for Adam and his wife, and He clothed them. Now, Genesis 3:15, the Lord said, between you and the woman, devil, between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, this seed will bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. While the devil's part in killing Jesus would be mortal, it would only be temporary. Whereas Christ's defeat of Satan will be forever. When you get to the end of the Bible in the Revelation record, get to chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, and you'll find that after the judgment at the great white throne judgment of all the people who tried to cover themselves in their own effort, fall short, they are thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone along with death and hell and all the wicked. That includes the devil, the prophet, the beast, all the wicked who followed them over the years. The Lord God provides opportunity for salvation. But should you choose not to have that, there is a day coming whereby you will be judged according to your works and not according to His works. And it doesn't have to be that way, because a sacrifice has been offered. A sacrifice of Christ. Now I want you to notice that this sacrifice happens in chapter 3 of Genesis. This is well before the sacrifices of the law, which do not come around until Exodus, past chapter 20, when the law is handed out to the people. And then God begins to prescribe the different sacrifices. Notice that sacrifices had been offered up before that. Even in chapter 4, Cain and Abel offer up sacrifices. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Abel was a keeper of the flocks. And it came about in the course of time, Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. Offerings were being offered up pretty much right away. I'm convicted that it happened because the couple recognized that some animal had to be sacrificed for them to have skin coverings, and so that became their custom. In order to worship God, we remember an offering was made to cover our sin. And when they worshiped God, they made offerings. Cain and Abel come, and they make an offering before God. You want to go a little bit further? Look at the flood experience. After the flood finished, and after the people came off of the ark and all the animals, Noah built an altar, and he took of the clean animals, and he offered sacrifices right away. Gratitude to the Lord for getting them through the judgment of the flood. Offerings were being offered. Abraham and his son Isaac, we look at that and we go, how could a dad ever do that? Abraham apparently had been accustomed to offering up offerings to God. And then God comes up and says, I want you to take now your only son and go offer him. And Abraham must have been as shocked as some of us would be. Really? All that time I waited for this son and you want me to take him? Okay, Lord. No wonder we call him the father of faith. He just trusted God was going to do something. In fact, he told the rest of his servants, he said, you folks wait here, and we're going to go up to the mountain. And you read it. And he says, and we will come back. Even before he goes. And on the way, the son says, Dad, I see the wood and the fire and the knife, but where's the offering? And what did Abraham say? The Lord God will provide for himself an offering. And he did. Abraham was accustomed to offering up offerings before the Lord. Offerings were happening. And then, of course, when the law came and offerings were prescribed, there's grain offerings, there's drink offerings, and there's burn offerings, and there's sin offerings, and transgression offerings, and you name it, there were every kind of offering in the book. But before that, there were offerings being made. And it all of it pointed to one final offering. That's what we're getting at in our Hebrew study. Chapter 9, verses 11 to 14. I'm going to read this ahead of time. We're not going to study it this morning, but it reads this way. When Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? A little bit later, he says, the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. It's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. But by this will, we've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Everything that was offered up in the Old Testament, look, many of those were offered up in great faith. God will forgive me when I offer this offering. Now, some weren't. Just like in church today, we come, we throw some money on the plate, and instead of saying, Lord, this is an offering I give you, we're saying, oh, Lord, I'm doing my part. But many, when those offerings were made, the people were pouring into it, and they were thanking the Lord God that he was forgiving them. This is what every offering pointed to, was a day when the final offering would be made and Jesus came. The Hebrew writer tells us, the New Testament writers tell us that Jesus was that final offering. So that we could find coverings, garments, of righteousness. Read through Revelation 3, 4, and 5, and look at the letters to the churches and find how many times that the saints are covered with garments of white. Garments that have been dipped in the blood of Christ, but make us white as snow. It is the power of God through the death of Christ, the spilling of his blood, that we're able to have a salvation. And while they were faithfully offered, all of those years coming up till Christ, never were they adequate or sufficient, fully satisfying God's righteous wrath against sin. Until a maiden woman, Luke chapter 1 tells us about this maiden woman, betrothed to a man named Joseph, encountered by an angel of God named Gabriel. Chapter 1 of Luke tells us this story. Verses 26 to 38. Read this way. In the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was 6 months of what? Elizabeth's pregnancy. Earlier, an elderly couple, Elizabeth and Zacharias, they weren't unable to bear, but God gave Zacharias a promise that his wife would bear a child and he would be the one who would have a voice crying out in the wilderness, calling people back to God. So it was in the sixth month of her pregnancy that the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord's with you." And she was perplexed at this statement, kept wondering what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. And behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you'll name him Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? I'm a virgin." And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God." Nothing impossible with God. Mary's response. A woman, unexpectedly now to become a mother. Here was her response. "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I expect that in some way, every mother comes to this conclusion. Behold, the will of God. Here we are. Let's do it. And the one that she would bear forth, of course, would become Jesus the Savior. In fact, this mother, John chapter 20, 19 tells us she stood at the cross and watched as her son died. From birth to death, Mary was faithful. And sometimes our mothers, from birth to death, are that faithful. Why should we be grateful? Why should we celebrate moms today? Because they're responding to a God-ordained role for life. That life may continue. That those children not only receive physical life, but also, perhaps with great hope, spiritual life. To know the Lord, to know life to a greater degree. Not just experience breathing and eating and cutting our knees and having fun and laughing, but to know the joy of the hope of the security of a life beyond. There are many mothers in this place today. I know that that's what you're investing in your children, or you have. Maybe even now doing that in your grandchildren. You are to be honored. It's a high calling. It's a very high calling. I say today, praise the Lord for mothers. Praise the Lord for godly mothers. Praise the Lord for his provision of Christ and our future inheritance with Christ and with all the other saints. And for those who do not know this Christ, ABC, it's as simple as that. A, admit your sin. Admit you can't cover yourself with any garment, with any righteousness, with any power, with any money. You need the covering of Christ. Admit your sin. Believe that God sent Jesus to come to this world for the purpose of dying on the cross as a sacrifice for your sin because you needed it. And then commit yourself to him. Entrust yourself to him. Yield to him. Surrender to him. Love him. Embrace him. And live with him as best as you can day to day. Listen, you're going to mess that up. That's why you need him. ABC, admit, confess. Admit, believe, confess, and commit. Trust him. You will know how to bless your mother better when you're yielded to him who gave you this mother. Let's pray. Father, you're worthy. We sang that before the message. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy to be worshiped. And thank you, Father, for the provisions you make for us. And this morning, we thank you for mothers. We do thank you for dads. We thank you for children. We thank you for church family. All who invest in us and in our children, Lord God, thank you for all that you surround us with in this life. But we thank you that everything we know is enriched because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord God, may we not forget that as we worship you, Lord, that enriches our honor expressed to our mothers and to our grandparents and to our husbands, to our children, our neighbors. Lord, thank you. So we move into this time of response. Father, I pray your spirit have freedom to move now. And if we need to come to the altar and just give you thanks, we'll do that. We can do that where we stand. Lord God, the pastor will be glad to pray with these because you have brought us to this place to minister to one another. Lord God, be glorified through our response. We pray to your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. The team is here to lead us. Altar's open.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God.
sung that last verse before? All right. Very few of you raised your hand. Praise the Lord for this day. Go and embrace family and love on one another. We will not have service tonight. Concentrate on being with your loved ones. God bless. Don't forget to go visit the bakery outside and have some dessert after lunch. God bless. Love you.
We're going to close with the family of God.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joy dares with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God.
God bless. Goodbye. Happy Mother's Day.